Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
The USA Women's National Team is in Lyon, France. They beat France in French territory. That was a big deal. That was the co-favorite, the other team that might be able to knock us out, France, and the other one might be England, and we're playing them in about 50 minutes. Let's talk to a couple of people who know a little bit more about this than I do, and we'll start with, let's see here, Brittany Arnold, who is the Chicago Fire sidelines reporter. Brittany, welcome to the show. You're on WGN Radio. How are you?
Hi, guys. I'm well. How are you? Thanks for having me.
So you're in Chicago right now, correct?
I am not in Chicago yet. I will be there in just a few hours.
Got it. Alicia Delgado will join us in about 60 seconds. She is in France, as I understand it, reporting for Pro Soccer USA. Expect the headlines out of this match for me, Brittany. What should we be looking forward to?
So this is going to be an incredible match. Obviously, if you've been watching the tournament thus far, the USA are looking to go all the way to the final, and they definitely are the favorites to do that. I think the biggest headline that is going to be surrounding this match is Megan Rapinoe. She is not in the starting lineup. That news just came out not too long ago. So that could be somewhat of a loss in the beginning of the match for the U.S. She's been remarkable the last two games for them. That we're going to keep an eye on.
Why are they not starting her?
That is, you're going to have to ask Jalel's that.
Jalel was the coach,
I was reading not too long ago that she's replaced by Kristen Press. So that's a coaching decision. But I know that England is going to be coming out swinging. They have never made it to the final in this tournament, and the U.S. are looking to grab another World Cup here. So they're definitely going to be looking to get those points here tonight, this afternoon.
Is there any insinuation that Rapinoe's strident personality might be a distraction? Better we bring her in and let the women just play? Is it something like that, maybe?
It could very well be. I think that coaches, you know, they have that choice, right, to make the decision whether it's for an injury or to rest a player based on their performances in recent matches. I think that Jill Ellis is a brilliant coach. I was reading earlier, again, this is news that broke just about 20 minutes ago, so it's kind of new for all of us, but I am reading that she said she was going to speak about the decision after the match. I don't know if there's going to be more news coming out as we get closer to the game starting.
Yeah.
But Jill Ellis, you know, she's a smart coach, and I think that whatever decision she made was for a bigger purpose in today's match.
If you watch the Chicago Fire, you know Brittany Arnold as a sideline reporter and one of the commentators for Chicago Fire. But maybe you also read Pro Soccer USA. The editor and co-founder of that is in France right now. And maybe Alicia Delgado can give us a little more clue on what's going on over there. Alicia, can you hear us in France?
Yes, I can. Thanks for having me.
Jump into the conversation. What are you hearing about the Rapinoe decision?
Yeah, so a spokesman for U.S. Soccer, when I asked him whether it was an injury concern, because that's what we've seen mostly throughout this tournament, when big players maybe aren't fully injured but are feeling a little tightness or having a little issue, we've seen Jill Ellis kind of bench them and opt to take them off the bench instead of risk it. So I asked the U.S. Soccer spokesman if she was injured. He said he couldn't say whether she was injured or not. We'd have to ask Jill Ellis after the match. But he did say it is not due to discipline. It's not a disciplinary thing. Also along those lines, you know, when Rapinoe's was like peak in the headlines right after Donald Trump tweeted about her, that was before the last game, and she started and scored two goals. So I don't think that's much of a concern for the team. But all we know right now is it's not a disciplinary issue. Also, though, on England's side, there's a major shift in the lineup. Their starting goalkeeper, Karen Bardsley, is out with a hamstring injury. So they have a different goalkeeper starting this match now.
Ladies, I don't know these players that well, but we all have heard the Megan Rapinoe stories, and we saw her score two goals against France. Is she the star of the team, or, I mean, like, could you put it in terms of a, you know, LeBron James or Chris Bryant and Anthony Rizzo? I mean, could you just tell me where she is in the lineup in terms of talent and importance?
I mean, I don't really think it's fair to compare them to other male athletes in a completely different sport, but I will say that I would put Rapinoe, Alex Morgan, probably the top two most well-known athletes and successful, accomplished athletes on the roster. The other one would be Carly Lloyd. However, she's the oldest player on the roster now, and so while she was the star of the last World Cup, she's been coming off the bench this World Cup.
Yeah.
So they are definitely elite athletes, well-known globally, not just nationally, bring in, you know, the fans, bring in the sponsorships. Those are the two on the team that do that the most.
And I'm just talking about importance to the team. I'm not asking about male, female, or other sports. Alicia, is she a pivotal player on the team?
Yes, 100%.
Yeah.
Well, I agree with that. She's very important to the
Well, then this is just kind of a mystery to me. I mean, if it's not disciplinary and we don't think it's an injury, then it'll be interesting to see what the strategy is. I presume you all expect Rapinoe to be in the match, correct?
I would hope so. And I think, going off of her point as well, yeah, as you were saying with the comparison with other players, she's absolutely important to this roster. And I'm actually, as we're talking and as I'm reading the latest stuff, I'm extremely interested in seeing why Joe Ellis made this decision, considering too that she's had two great matches. I'm surprised that she's not starting her, and I think that this being one of the most important matches they're going to face, right, and especially against a very hungry England side. So I'm interested to see what news comes out as to why she made the switch.
Is it true? I've heard it said about this. Yeah, go ahead and finish that thought.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, I would definitely expect her to play unless it's an injury thing and they're concerned about it and want to rest her for the final. That would make sense. If that's not the case, I'm racking my brain for a reason.
Yeah. Is it true, though, that, all right, so she might not get as many minutes in this match, but we not only have the best women's team in the world, but we also have the second best women's team in the world. That is, anybody coming off the bench for the U.S. is not a significant downgrade. Is that true, ladies?
Correct. 100%. The depth is incredible on the U.S. women's national team. And I think that more
especially
and more of the fan base, yeah, not only women fans, too. I think I see so many men soccer fans that are so engulfed in the World Cup because of the depth of the squad. And I think that it all stems back from 20 years ago. And every single generation of women soccer players has guided the next generation. And they have that same mentality every single World Cup that they've always had. And I think that's where it stems from.
Yeah. That's an interesting point. So much has been said. I mean, even amateurs like me, people that don't follow soccer, or certainly women's soccer, can see the athleticism and the skills, but so much has been made of the personality of this team, maybe too much. Would you ladies just talk a little bit about, and maybe Brittany, why don't you start, about the attitude of this team, and is it good or bad, and some of the controversy?
I think that not just with the U.S. team, but in general, there's been, you know, a movement, right, in the last couple of years, more aggressively than before with women and women in sports, and I think just women in general. I think that, you know, when you're in the public eye and you are an athlete, there are times where you have sort of that media criticism, right, of if you're being too strong and too opinionated, if you're handling things correctly. And I think that for me as a journalist and also as a mom, I have two little girls. I think it's important you have to have an opinion. You have to have a voice. And I think there's a way of projecting things, right? And there's a way of handling things. But I think that the U.S. Women's National Team is just showing that they're strong and they're doing that not only on the pitch, but they're doing it with their personalities and the way they express themselves and just showing that, hey, we're women, but we can be just as strong as anybody else, just as tough as anybody else. You know, we can be individuals. And I think they're just trying to set that example to show younger generations that you can be anything you want to be and you can be tough. And it's okay that at the same time you're a female. And that's how I see they're portraying sort of their messages. I don't know if you may agree on that as well.
Being over here, it's actually interesting because it's a different perspective. I'm not seeing too much other than what I see on Twitter of how the United States and media over there is reacting to it. But here it's interesting because the British media leading up to this game has been very harsh on the U.S. women's national team. I think almost every reporter has asked whether they think that their comments are arrogant. And that's a huge storyline over here. So they've kind of been defending themselves. But what I noticed was the England coach said a lot of the same things that the U.S. coach and the U.S. players are saying, where, you know, anything less than a title is a failure and we're winners and, you know, we're going to celebrate like winners. And they're saying all the same things. And when I was on a British radio show on BBC earlier this morning and mentioned that the reporters on their side said, well, maybe it's the way that they're saying things and not what they're saying. So I think definitely it's rubbed some people the wrong way, but I tend to agree with everything that Brittany just said. I think there's nothing wrong with being confident and portraying that confidence and that strength, especially when you're reigning world champions and especially when we're this close to winning another title.
Yeah, I think you get to talk the talk if you can walk the walk, and they have done they have done that. You know, I don't know how the world views athletes, but I know in the United States we're having a conversation in Chicago about the cocky attitude of some of our baseball players after they hit a home run, they flip the bat, and maybe they give a little lip. And I'm one of those people, and it's an open conversation right now, but I happen to be one of those people that think a little of that is entertaining. These people are in entertainment business. And also, it's insane to ask athletes performing at the height of their game to unplug their emotion and unplug their personality. I mean, that's just bizarre. And we don't ask the men to do it. We don't ask NFL players to do it. The National Football League is letting them dance, for crying out loud. So, to me, this is just, it's not a reasonable request to ask the women to dismiss the swagger that I think they deserve to demonstrate.
I totally agree. And that makes me think of the NBA Finals. I always felt that way about Kawhi Leonard. I'm like, when is this guy going to celebrate? When is he going to have an emotion? When is he going to feel anything for everything that he's accomplishing, right? And I feel like every athlete has their own personality and their way of showing it. But it's like you said, I mean, when you're at the highest level and you're the best of the best, there's nothing wrong with throwing your hands up in the air after you score a brace or a goal and just feeling that emotion. Because, again, we kind of tend to forget as fans that these are humans, right? And there's moments in the sport where they are humanized and they feel what we feel as fans. And, you know, there are levels that athletes have gone that are just, you know, I can see as disrespectful maybe to the sport or to their teammates. But I think when you celebrate and you've worked so hard to be as good as you are, no problem showing that emotion on the pitch or on the field or on the court.
Brittany Arnold, Chicago Fire sidelines reporter, and Alicia Delgado, who is in Lyon, ready for the match in about 40 minutes. She's the editor and co-founder at Pro Soccer USA. I presume ProSoccerUSA.com for that, Alicia?
Yes, correct.
Okay, check them out. Ladies, thanks for your thoughts on this. This has been very helpful and fun. Maybe you can join us again. If we win today, when's our next match, Brittany? Or Alicia, do either of you know?
Yeah, it's July 7th. July 7th
will be the final.
July 6th would be the third place game in Nice if they lose.
And if they win the championship, though, I mean, so would the championship game be July 7th then?
July 7th, yep, and the third place game is the day before.
I see. Okay, thanks for your help, both of you.
Which they will.
I'm so glad you guys could join us. And the Megan Rapinoe story is very interesting. She's not starting. We'll see how many minutes she gets today.